Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I hope you folks can hear me. Blog Talk Radio's gone bonkers because they said I had 2 minutes left and the countdown said it was on. So it's crazy today. Good old Blog Talk. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I'm your host, Linda, coming from Oceanside, California. We're experiencing heat wave as well. It's about 85 degrees and it's hot. It's a hot August day. And I want to welcome Bill, Yo, Kyra, and guests. Thank you for joining me. Hopefully others will join soon. So much is going on in the news, of course. That's why I play these songs, because we do live in an Alice in Wonderland, upside-down world. And in the chat room, Kyra was talking about the appliances and the smart meters, and it's really, she says, cool down to 85. I know, we're getting it milder than you guys, but nonetheless, we're still warm. I've got the fans running here. We don't have air conditioning, but fortunately we have that breeze from the ocean. So anyway, what happened here was they had a huge situation with the smart meters in Orange County, and so there was a huge task force up there helping people to opt out of these meters and get the California Public Utilities Commission on board to allow these people to go right to the local ones. Ours is, here is San Diego Gas and Electric. And then, hey, Ron, thanks for joining us. And it actually got from Orange County, the San Diego Gas and Electric were also apprised that people could opt out. I sent a certified letter. I know Robert did in Florida as well. So if you're in southern Florida, you might have an option, I don't know, but they didn't make Robert get one because he did the right steps. So all of his neighbors got them and they didn't listen to him, but it's a pain, this Agenda 21. It's just evil. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. All the things that I got to do on Monday night, which was speaking to Lynn Welke, and she's the better half of Ken, who's been doing lots of research, and I'll get into that Agenda 21 research. And Barb Decker was there. A lot of people were there for the meeting because Ken was speaking on Agenda 21 and the environment, the carbon and the carbon tax, and it's just amazing. I did get a chance to speak to Barbara because she turned me on to the evils of Agenda 21 about 2 years ago, and then we got this task force formed together, and ever since we've been going to city council meetings, speaking in front of several groups, all cities, Escondido, Vista, Oceanside, wherever we can go. Welcome, Jomer. Welcome, everyone, because we need to let these people know. So I'm putting together the information for the local people in my neighborhood for action committee that they will understand about this stuff. They need to know about it. So hopefully, talking about, the hot seat left, never right. Okay, I don't know who that is, but welcome. Anyway, so I did explain to Barbara and Lynn that I got to speak to the mayor of Oceanside, and they were curious as to what he said, and I explained, you know, his reaction, and I'm still pushing because I gave the package that Ken put together to the other councilwoman in my area, and hopefully I'll hear from her on that. So this was, see if I can find it. He's got about 15 pages. He's got charts and graphs and all these things, and it says how regional and local development plans are intentionally designed to permanently limit your personal freedom of movement and lifestyle. So he goes into a vast change in your future freedom of movement and lifestyle choices is being orchestrated across the nation by a coordinated structure of environmental justice activists and the United Nations actions. So here we go. It's talking about the examples in San Diego County, and the odds are that the very same policies are being put in place wherever you live. The current SANDAG, which is a public-private partnership, and it's the transportation element of our area, which is also evil. The SANDAG regional, get this, transportation plan 2050, the sustainable community strategy, they even have names for this nonsense, within it, and the individual city community development plans 2020 based upon it are designed to going using assumptions and environmental protections based upon bad science that subsequent experience since 2005 when the predictions were made has shown to be incorrect. Then it says they're going to force an end to at least half of all current automobile based commuter traffic by making automobile traffic so slow, congested, and cumbersome that by 2050, more than 50% of all commuters will take public transport to work. This is part of their plan. The plan's goal is to force people to move closer to work or change jobs to employment closer to home. It starts to end the ability of the average person to live in suburban environments and housing. The plan's legally limit the suburban housing supply, making suburban housing so expensive that the average person will have to live in a smaller, high-density, or multi-use condominium or apartment development being built along public transit corridors, transportation corridors. And they go on to make shopping and other daily activities local and based upon walking and bicycle traffic using complete streets, just like in Europe, that's ugly. Strategies that are designed to make local automobile use significantly slower and more difficult, even though all efforts to do this nationally have failed to significantly change the adoption of either walking or bicycling. Total current population, 80% or more of the all U.S. workers commute by driving to work alone or in carpools. They want to change the economics of small businesses and the economics of labor by believing that local shops will spring up to replace malls and warehouses as the primary form of local supply. Unfortunately, the history of growth management shows a huge reduction in local business survival has cost the average citizen tens of thousands of dollars and wasted hundreds of hours per year and killed millions of jobs. To ignore the mobility needs and abilities of the aged, disabled, and poor, the plan requires average citizens to walk up to a half mile, a quarter of the current total daily walking per average American citizen, to access transport pickup points like bus stations and train stations, make connections between transport segments, or access local services from transport stops. It goes on. It's just an amazing document, and I'll try to get some of this information to you if I can. I think I have the email still. When I looked up the other Ron says, all of this garbage stems from a philosophy of elite rulers governing the dumb masses for their own good. Yes, that's true, and they're pushing it harder and harder, so that's why we're pushing like crazy. When I went to the, because we were talking yesterday, and for those who missed it, I looked up oligarchy, and I guess there wasn't enough room for all 535 in Congress to show the picture next to the word oligarchy. but it's the government by the few, a government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt and selfish purposes. That pretty much denotes the Congress and the Senate. But anyway, so that's, oh, and then there was another thing I found out today. The unions are pushing, of course, all the teachers' unions are talking about it on the radio. We haven't even gotten our sample ballots, and they're already pushing their garbage down our throats. There's a proposition in California on the November ballot, Prop 32, and it has to do with the pension reform and making sure that these unions, especially the public sector unions, cannot just force these people to pay dues, because we don't have a right to work state here in California, and then they can take whatever money they want and put it into a political PAC or whatever and get it to their Democrat candidates. So we're going to be voting yes on 32, and that's the news on that situation. So Bill says, you think all those auto workers, so they won't have, oh, are you kidding me? It's horrible what they're doing. They're destroying the entire situation. They want to rewild us back to the, you know, time of Columbus. It's sickening. I know what their agenda is. So the other information that I wanted to get to you is, this person obviously did not know that I was a conservative when he opened his mouth last Sunday at this kickoff rally for the mayor. And he was talking about, you know, Romney being so rich that he can't connect with the people, the average person and the middle class. And he's talking about all these things and the email I got from him and the likes that of his group that like that sort of rhetoric from the left, stating that Romney's going to tax the middle class and destroy the middle class and doesn't care about the poor. And oh my God, it just went on and on. So I was trying to put together bullet points on this thing, and it's called, I'm going to hand it out to, I'll probably make a lot of enemies, but that's okay. It's called Facts, History, Economics, and Solutions. And point one is, Mitt Romney is rich, true. Barack Obama is wealthy, true, approximately $11 million from his book sales. Presidents do not write or pass or implement tax laws. The Congress, House of Representatives, does that. Social Security and Medicare have been bad policies from their inceptions. Both Republicans and Democrats have put us into serfdom for over 100 years. Social Security and Medicare will be bankrupt in about 15 years anyway. The only class warfare being talked about is coming from the left. In 1920, nobody talks about it, there was a depression in this country. In 1921, Coolidge was sworn in as president after Harding died. At that moment, the unemployment rate was about 17 to 20% in our nation. The high tax rate on businesses and large businesses was 73%. Now, I don't know how he did it, and I know Ron's got a few things to say about this, but in 2 years, through the Congress, Coolidge brought down the unemployment rate down to 1.8%. How? He cut the tax rate, or had them do it, to 23% and slashed the wasteful government spending by half, 50%. In the ensuing years, the middle class salaries rose by 37%, which was a huge increase in our history. For freedom to exist, government must be small and limited to its enumerated powers. This country has not seen true capitalism nor free market enterprise since about 1860. You and I have never experienced a true capitalist economic model in our lifetimes. Capital equals production. It is that simple. Free and voluntary trade with a person or small business equals liberty. So I'm sure that they will have me, my head on a stick when I pass it out. Oh, well, and I'm going to try to get in there and speak for 10 minutes. I've already requested it. I haven't heard back yet on Agenda 21 with my Glenn Beck-style chalkboard with the timeline explaining how it started only from 1992. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time to go through the entire document that I was given by Ron on the regionalism of 1974 in California, which at that time, of course, and they've always known that so goes California, so goes the rest of the nation, which is not always good because we are in the toilet right now. And of course, Governor Brown is pushing us, you know, he's flushing the handle. I mean, we're done. And pretty much I will be soon reading another book, but I'm finishing this one up. It's absolutely amazing. and I wanted to go through a little bit of history, and I want to welcome our new guests and hot seat lift. I don't know who that is, but I don't know what it means, but welcome everybody. Jomer, Yo, Rod, welcome. Bill, Ron, everyone. Thanks for joining. Yo, too. This book, it was kind of interesting because this was this part that I'm going to go through. It's the seven tipping points that saved the world, and also subtitled The Miracle of Freedom. And this is post-World I, so it gives, I've already gotten through the ancient portions of the history. In the midst of this political uncertainty, the Communist Party emerged as an acceptable alternative. Many of England's intellectual elite enlisting in the communist cause, Russia was held up as a great success story. Visitors to Stalin's sadistic empire, having been brainwashed into believing that the fairy tale harmony and prosperity created by the Russian propaganda machine were real, with the Russian bear rising up in Eastern Europe, a genuine fear that England might be the victim of a communist revolution began to dominate the political thinking of the time. This was prior to World War II, because we haven't got quite to the rise of the Reich here. But through this great fear, a ray of hope began to shine unexpectedly, and with astonishing speed, Germany rose as a counterweight to the communist bear, feeding on the seeming success of the fascist rulers in Italy. Though a tyrant, Benito Mussolini, did appear to create stability and economic growth, the fascist movement began to stir in Germany, a desperate country that was suffering not only from the ravages of the Depression, because they had the Weimar Republic, but also from the shame of a lost war and the oppressive peace agreement that had followed. With the rise of fascism, a man named Adolf Hitler forced himself onto the national stage. Some in England welcomed the new movement as a bulwark against a communist wave sweeping over Europe. With a desire for peace at any cost and the dread of communism hanging over their heads, French and English leaders decided to befriend any anti-communist government that might emerge in Germany. Adolf Hitler was more than happy to oblige them. So we can learn from these things, folks, and I hopefully I've got more things to send out to you folks. There was it's on an email, and there's downloads that you can put in. There's the same people who were touting this video were touting the one by Aaron Russo, of course, Freedom to Fascism. But this one was, why are we in so much debt? And the timeline starts all the way from 1776 to the present day, and it talks about the Rothschilds. It talks about Alexander Hamilton. It talks about the assassination of several presidents and others who dared to go up against the dishonest monetary system and the Federal Reserve. Within 5 months, when Kennedy went after these people, he was shot. And it was frightening, and this, it also showed that the Secret Service, they had captured film of this, the Secret Service just abandoned the back of his convertible, and that was, so everybody, you can probably figure it out for yourself. Lee Harvey Oswald was just a doofus. I don't know even if he did the firing of the shots, but who will ever know the truth except that the Illuminati just they don't play, and these bankers are evil. Also, I'm really happy to have you guys today. 646-378-0321. The banking cartel is why we are in serfdom, and I plan on, after I finish this wonderful book, I'm going to read Hayek's Road to Serfdom. Like I said before, since I'm already a serf, I better figure out how I got here. So, and then he said, yes, and Lincoln brought it about, which Lincoln brought about, I know he brought about a lot of stuff. He brought about the Lieber Code. He brought about saving the Union, which is what he probably considered a corporation instead of the United States are. Yeah, United States is, which is evil. So, again, if you guys want to weigh in on this and help get our audience up to speed, please call in at 646-378-0321. I'll tell you, I hope you guys have your fans and your air conditioning on, because I'm over here with just a little fan and it's hot. But Yeah, we're fighting against so many little battles, and then we have, of course, the distractions of, you know, the radical crazies and what they call the attack ads in this campaign. Some of the stuff that has been bantered about with the horrible ad that was put out by the political pack, I guess it's Barack Obama's side, I don't know, his team, now almost calling Romney a murderer because this the Bain Capital did something to some plant and somebody's wife died and it was seven years in between or afterwards, and it after Romney even left Bain Capital. So we have to not allow ourselves to be distracted by these people, because that's what they want us to focus on, where we have to focus locally and we, you know, stay on top of our state assembly, our state people, our governors, any local congressmen, your own senators, if you can get through to them. Mine, I've got Boxer and Feinstein. I'm SOL on that deal. But we've got to go with, you know, doing what you can. I got a nice letter from Daryl Issa today talking about not only is he doing the Fast and Furious and a few other investigations in this administration, he's also trying to help legislation that will put people back to work, although if they would just follow the Constitution, we'd all have a job. But, you know, that's just too much common sense. Let's see what we have here. GS deal lasted 8 more years thanks to Bain Capital, and the woman had insurance from her job. Yeah, I don't have all the facts on that. Hot seat. Just, you know, if you want to call in with anything, 646-378-0321. I welcome all callers. So if you guys want to talk about history, you want to talk about Agenda 21, the monetary system, talk about faith, God, liberty. Yeah, I've done a lot of things in the past few days just trying to educate others and educate myself. Bill says, even CNN is reporting the attack is a lie. Well, that's good. You know, and then what bothers me is I get confronted by these lefties who don't know that I'm a conservative constitutionalist, and they start spouting this stuff, and what they do is they parrot it out like they've just, you know, like they're some little drone video camcorder, and they're just repeating it from either CNN or MSLSD, I call it, and they don't even fact check, they don't do their own homework, they don't think, they don't, it's amazing to me. And what they do is they take me by surprise. I'm not expecting it, so I'm not prepared, and I'm speechless, and then I have to kind of, you know, figure out how to dance around it and not get myself starting World War III in the middle of a park on a nice day. It's amazing. So I'm trying to learn better. That's why I put these things down on paper, because I know these people do not read anything. I mean, they probably wouldn't even know how to navigate through the Constitution. It would just be beyond their scope. And so it is very frustrating. But I think that's part of my job, is to get people aware, to make sure that I'm with my groups to go forward and make sure that everybody knows about the smart meters, the smart growth, all this evil stuff. And they've got all these fancy names. And in fact, I have them here. And my other handout will be, I hope I didn't get too close to the mic. It's a one page so they can understand it. And it has all of the, at the bottom, it's got Michael Shaw. It's got Tom DeWeese, which is the AmericanPolicy.org. It's got Rosa Kiora, which is Democrats Against Agenda 21. All these links are there for these people. And okay, we got Independent up here. I'm going to bring you up. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening. I'm new to the show, but I have my own show at 8 o'clock on Fridays, 8 p.m. Okay, Eastern time. And, yeah, you brought a lot to the table in just a few minutes I've been listening. Okay. What I find extremely frustrating is that most of America thinks that we can still work within this two-party system and you know, right the wrongs. And I'd just like to point out to the chat room, since 1960, we've had 13 presidential elections. Seven have been won by the GOP and six by the Democrats. And look where we are. And never mind the countless of flip-flopping we, the American voter, have done with Congress. And, you know, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and expect different results. It is time to fire the government.
I agree. I think we should just go back to the first part of the Declaration and just start over. I mean, I wish we could. I think they've got a pretty tight stranglehold on us with the drones and the NDAA and all the rest of it. It's pretty frightening.
I didn't mean to interrupt. We put ourselves, though, in that position. It's our fault. It's the American voters' fault.
I agree with you.
Because we have third-party people out there. And all I hear is, and this frustrates me, oh, they're not going to win. Oh, they're not going to make a difference. But you know what? We still have the power of the vote. For instance, let's pretend 5 million people vote for the presidency. 1.5 vote Democrat, 1.5 vote Republican, 2 million vote third party. To me, that tells me the third party won by popular vote. I mean, the same thing with Congress. We can still pull that lever for who we want to.
But
we're brainwashed into believing that there's nothing we can do. And the apathy in this country absolutely disgusts me.
It's astounding. Yeah, it is. Ron, welcome to the show. I don't know your
How
name,
you doing?
Sir. I'm Linda. We're going to call you independent.
You can call me Mike if you like.
Oh, hi, Mike. Welcome.
Hi.
Go ahead, Ron.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? You know, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and it's one of the things that I've pointed out many times. If voting in a presidential election, if voting were the answer, we wouldn't have any problems by now. We've been voting for 230 years.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, as you just correctly pointed out, we've had an even split between Democrats and Republicans. And during that time, the House and the Senate have also been split. The problem is that the agenda is not what the politicians speak about to us. We're not the agenda as far as, you know, internal workings go. There's a larger agenda at hand. And that agenda has been pushed very strongly since the days of Woodrow Wilson.
Yes, it's 1913 and the creation of the Federal Reserve and all that business.
The Federal Reserve, the League of Nations, the United Nations, it's a philosophy, it's an ideology. And, you know, if you go back in history, I mean, Lincoln is the one that was instrumental in bringing about the shift in our form of government that enabled what we currently have.
Okay. That's fine. But see, here's the crux of my problem, is that we continue as a country to buy into the two-party system and continually say to ourselves, oh, we have to vote within the party to make change. And we see that election after election, this isn't happening. So, quite frankly, there's only three options that the American people have. A, continue to vote the two-party system and continue to fail. B, vote third party, fire the government, throw a monkey wrench into the system. Or C, don't vote at all. A and C is not plausible because then the establishment just continues to go the merry way. But we have to raise eyebrows. We're not doing that. Even if we lose, if we raise enough eyebrows, that will send a message. Right now, see, look, the Democrats and the Republicans, they get all fired up on C-SPAN. When the camera goes to black, they go across the street and have a drink together.
Yep.
Sure.
And it's the same thing with the lamestream media. So when are we as a people going to say enough? Because there's really only two avenues. We either try to revolt with the vote or, well, folks, we can go the France, Britain, and Russia way. And that'll be revolution, because those three countries took away the middle class, as we are doing now. So take your pick, because it's going to be one or the other.
I think we should wake them up. I think we need to wake people up, and I don't know how else to do other than what I'm doing. I can't, you know, I can't afford airtime on the major networks, and they'd probably shut me down anyway. So.
Well, they wouldn't. You wouldn't have a shot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
well, this
scary.
Is why I do what I do every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, is I raise hell for 60 minutes.
Awesome.
Well, and, you know, Mike, I think we had a perfect opportunity twice now with Ron Paul.
Oh,
I agree.
And we see that the people, the majority, even of those that consider themselves conservatives, are so damn brainwashed with all this garbage. I mean, they don't have a clue about history or the reality of the situation. And so they're just off on some tangent. You know, it's just like this crap with Romney's tax returns. Who gives a damn? It means absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Well,
but
we all know this is a we know that Obama's people have to do that because he has no record to run on. But you have to be careful about conservatives. See, so what's your name, host Patriot Family? You have a first name, or do you go by something?
Well, her name's Linda. I'm Ron.
Okay,
yeah.
Linda, you brought up a perfect point. Now, where was I going with that? Because I lost my train of thought.
Sure. Something I said.
Alexander Hamilton and fascism, freedom to fascism.
Right.
People have to understand what conservatism really means.
Correct.
Alexander Hamilton wanted a strong federal government. He believed in imperialism. He pushed John Adams, who was a libertarian, by the way, to get into the France-Britain War, and so did Jefferson, who was very condescending to the French. And that's why Adams lost the re-election, because the ambassador from Russia didn't come back in time to say that there was a peace agreement, or he would have been a two-term president. You see, conservatives believe in imperialism and the Commonwealth. The people serve the Commonwealth, not the other way around. Libertarians like John Adams felt the reverse. The government serves the people. So be careful about conservatives.
Sure.
Because they are not constitutionalists.
Exactly.
They're not.
I know. I think I can spot them a mile away now. Yes.
Oh, well, look what happened on Bloody Thursday, June 28th. We had a Supreme Court Injustice Roberts fracture the Constitution, break the law. We then had the Obama administration tell Arizona, we're not going to follow the law on illegal immigration. And they set up 800 numbers for citizens to report cops doing their job. So,
You know what? This is what when I talk about oligarchy, that's for the Congress. For Obama, he thinks he's already a dictator. This man is not following the rule of law. He thinks it's the rule of kings, and he thinks he's King Obey Me, and I got news for him. You know, I'm tired of it, and we've got to stand up against this stuff. And I don't know, and I know that they've shoved Romney down our throats. I love Ron Paul. I got to see him speak here. I was so amazed. And once I started knowing who he was, I was on board. You know, but I don't think we're in luck on that. I don't know.
Well, no. But again, Linda, this is the fault of the American people, because Americans were, despite all this trouble we're in, we're not in enough trouble. We're still fat and happy. We're still too lazy. We're worried about Kim Kardashian and what her family's up to. And we just pop on the TV and the lamestream media tells us that Romney's the man. Why can't we think for ourselves? So, you know, as far as the Illuminati and the NWL, that's all fine and good. But you see, martial law has not been declared yet. Elections have not been suspended yet. Yet the American people have dropped the ball. And they have to look in the mirror. They are accountable. And I blast the American voter every single week.
Sure.
And I have no problem with that, because that's the bottom line to this
whole
problem.
One of the reasons that you're seeing this, and that you have the ability now, of course, to blast them, is because they're lazy. And they have been steered away from history for so many decades. It's not even funny. It, you know, they wouldn't know the truth if it came up and hit them in the face. And that's not good because it's going to come and hit them in the face, not only with a financial collapse, possibly with these, you know, National Defense Authorization Act, and when they start taking everything away from you, including your automobile and your rights to water, you're in trouble. And they don't get it, and they will not educate themselves. I've been, you know, my God, read something. At least one book. I don't expect you to read all 50 that I've gone through in the last 4 years, but something.
But
you know
what,
though?
But you don't even have to do that. Due to the internet, you can research every person running for office in every single office and look at their track record. What did these people stand for?
Yes.
What have these people done? And it's just so pathetic. The American people are bitching and moaning out there. Oh, why can't we have an honest politician? Oh, why can't we have someone for the Constitution? Well, you had a guy. His name is Dr. Ron Paul. And it's the same thing with Tim Tebow. You know, sport fans, why do we have to have all these athletes cheating on their wives, shooting themselves in the leg, drunk driving, drug addiction? Why can't we have a God-fearing athlete, an honest guy? In walks Tim Tebow, genuflects on the field, wants to stay a virgin until he meets his wife. Oh, he's a Jesus freak. Oh, there's something wrong with that guy. Oh, he's screwed up. Oh, he's crazy. Hello? I mean, what do you want? America, what do you want?
Well, you know,
it's mind-boggling.
Here's the thing. The people that you're talking about, the lefties and the nut jobs and the atheists and all the rest of it, these New World Order nonsense people and the lamestream Marxist media, they have the loudest voice. And this is why it appears that they outnumber us, which is exact opposite. They don't. Look at the Chick-fil-A turnout and then the pathetic turnout for their kiss-in. I mean, that's proof right there. But do you think anyone would cover this stuff? Oh, no. They're not going to cover it. Only if it's on their agenda and it helps the president and their lefty agenda, will they report on anything. You know, go ahead.
Well, you're right in part on that, Linda. And you know, I think a majority of Americans do want to support things like Chick-fil-A and Tim Tebow and those kind of things. But what they miss, where they miss the boat, is they are so fully indoctrinated in the garbage that comes out of that box that melts their brain every time they turn the damn thing on.
I know.
And
I know.
That they can't see through the BS. And, you know, I mean, they labeled Ron Paul as a nut. Mm-hmm. He's a lunatic. He's crazy. I've heard the word Constitution mentioned more times in the last 8 years of my life than I heard in the first 40 years of my life.
Sure. Because,
and you can contribute that to Ron Paul.
Absolutely.
Now everybody's a constitutionalist. Suddenly everybody's talking about the damn Constitution. And they try to give the credit to the Tea Party some dipshit, pardon me, campaign organizer. And it was Ron Paul's money bomb in 2005 or 2007 mm-hmm. that started the whole thing, and it was on the anniversary of the Boston Tea Party.
Yep.
And they just continue to try and marginalize him.
Well, see, what the media does in the black box in the living room, which is the brainwashing tool of the masses, mm-hmm. you know, basically they do exactly what the left does in politics. These guys pick and choose what, quote, truth they're going to spew out on, you know, and I say that with tongue in cheek. And the president picks and chooses which laws he thinks he ought to obey and not obey. This is what I'm seeing, and it's blasphemy, it sucks, and it's tyranny, and I'm tired of it. And that's why I speak in front of groups. I speak to the mayor. I speak in front of the council chambers. I'm going to do it until they shut me up. I'm going to keep doing it. I don't care. I'm at the 11th hour. What have I got to lose?
We all are. And see, here's the thing about what you said about, you know, Obama doesn't want to be king. He wants to be the new Joseph Stalin. And he writes executive order after executive order. And here's what cracks me up with this so-called Tea Party deal. Where's Michelle Bachmann? She gets plenty of airtime on Sean Hannity and the O'Reilly Factor. Where's Sarah Palin talking about these executive orders? And by the way, you know, they do this paper tiger dog and pony show, again, part of June 28th. Bloody Thursday, holding Holder in contempt. Oh, you know, that really intimidated him. Oh, that really scared him. Why isn't anyone calling for the names of the ATF agents and arrest made? Do you know on my show, I'm the only one that played a clip from an Arizona sheriff named Paul Babu, B-A-B-E-U.
I know him. I know of him.
Right. And he says, and I agree with him 1,000%, this government is guilty of weapons trafficking and accessory to murder. And why won't anybody say it?
They won't say it. No, they're chicken. And I'll tell you, if the freaks get their way and this idiot gets back in, and if he actually thinks that this that these elitists who really are pulling the strings are going to allow him to be the next Stalin, that guy's dreaming. They will take him out so fast it'll make his head spin.
Well, he's not going to overstep his bounds. First of all, Obama never had an original idea in his life. Obamacare is Romneycare. He's talking about now the Second Bill of Rights nonsense, which came out of FDR's mouth, I believe in 1932 or 1936, with his living wage nonsense. You take the teleprompter away, he's a stuttering idiot.
Yes, he is.
So he's just a tool. And believe me, he's not going to overstep his bounds, because first of all, he wouldn't know how to.
You know what? There's a double meaning on that tool.
I'm not going to go there with the other one. I'll stick with this because, you know, you are a lady and I'm not going down that road. But so he's just a puppet. He wouldn't even know how. You see, JFK knew how to buck the system and we know what it got him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? James A. Garfield did the same thing and it got him shot as well. And McKinley.
Andrew Johnson was almost whacked too. Because he wanted to stop. There was a Federal Reserve before there was a Federal Reserve.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Ron, did you get to see that video I sent you on the link? I'm going to try to get it to everybody.
I have not.
It's amazing. You guys got to see it. It was fabulous, and it's like you could have done this video because you kind of done that kind of research. But he did. He went all the way back to 1776 when the ink was drying. And all the way through to today, and it talks about the Federal Reserve, talks about the Rothschilds, talks about Meyer Rothschild 300 years ago, and this dynasty. I mean, it and the Jekyll Island of the whole nine yards. Talks about Warburg, all of them, Rockefeller. I mean, just down to the
David Rockefeller.
Rockefeller is one of the most evil bastards. Uh-huh. And you know, going back to Hamilton. Hamilton was the first Treasury Secretary. He's the one that convinced them that we needed the bank. Hamilton is the guy that put forth Biddle's name. And the guy that came before Biddle in the very first bank at the end of the Revolutionary War, his hands were deep in it. And I don't think coincidence that he was shot by Aaron Burr, who was his business partner in a bank in New York, and they got $10 million from the Bank of London.
Yeah, this guy talks about Mandelhaus and Wilson also, and this. I mean, it's very thorough. You're going to love it. I'll resend it to you, and I'll highlight it.
If you research, when you get into Mandelhaus and a guy named Sidney Mises, Walter Lippmann and Isaiah Bowman, they were all members of the inquiry. Okay, they were the guys that set up Wilson's 14 points for the Treaty of Versailles at the end of World War I, and were trying to establish the League of Nations.
Nope, that's what brought Hitler into power.
Absolutely.
By crashing Germany.
They put crushing reparations on Germany. And that created an atmosphere in Germany where they wanted, you know, that was ripe for the picking, and along comes Hitler.
Oh, yeah. I talked about in right after World War I, and then that's why in England was welcoming this anti-communist stuff, and Hitler was more than happy to step in and do it.
Well, this is why, you know, again, I had a huge... kind of an argument on another radio show last week that conservatives are in denial that our country is guilty of imperialism and nation building. Let's look at the facts. Eisenhower, first of government, had their hands in overthrowing the president of Cuba because organized crime wanted to make Havana the new Vegas. Then we put an embargo around Castro, and what do we make him do? We have him running to Russia. Then we've got missiles in our backyard. We abandon the Shah of Iran.
Yep.
We get Ayatollah Khomeini. We form Al-Qaeda. We back Osama bin Laden in the 80s against the Russians. We get 9/11. We turn our back on Mubarak. We've got the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I'm missing here?
Yeah, don't forget that we're funding Al-Qaeda rebels against Syria and in Libya against Gaddafi. I mean, it's insanity. It's absolute insanity. And you can take that, you know, our imperialism all the way back to the end of the Civil War. Sherman couldn't wait to invade Mexico.
Wow.
Well, I had a huge fight with about this with another internet radio show, not on Blog Talk, but they're on FTRradio.com from the right. And the executive producer was trying to tell me that we were not imperialistic, that we leave voluntarily. Well, we're in 130 countries. We've got 700 bases. That doesn't sound like leaving to me. Did we leave Japan? No. Did we leave Korea? No. Middle East? We'll be there forever. What? You know the only country that we left? Vietnam, because we were thrown out with our tails between our legs, thanks to the lamestream media calling our troops baby killers, when in fact women and children were strapped with bombs.
Sure.
But that's okay. Every other country that we've gone and conquered, we've stayed in. So much for this. We're the only country to leave voluntarily. We don't leave. We expand and expand, and we spend and we spend and we spend. And I love the fact we have homeless and starving Americans in this country, but every time there's a tidal wave or an earthquake, all of a sudden billions of dollars are found. We've got thousands of American orphans sitting in foster care who most of them just pick up a check, or they're sitting in orphanages.
Sure.
But when Haiti has an earthquake, we can suspend the adoption. We can set up, you know, the adoption laws.
It's pretty nuts.
What's going on here? And we continue to buy into the system. So do we continue to buy in, or do we fire the government?
Are you on Blog Talk?
Yes, I am. My show is The Hot Seat, The Left Is Never Right, Fridays, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time.
Oh, Fridays. Okay.
Yep. That's the name of my show right there, The Hot Seat, Left Is Never Right.
8 p.m. Eastern?
Yes, on Friday nights. Okay. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be interviewing the co-founders of Reclamation Project X. They're constitutionalists. They're going to be on my show this Friday night.
Excellent.
I'm going to try to save her. I'm pretty sure I can. I already have hers, but I can't remember Kyra's email because she needed that link. I'll try to get it to everybody.
Okay,
but,
you can just cut and paste in the chat room. Make it over.
I'll do Patriot Families. Yeah, I'll try to get the. But it came to me in an email. I'm not sure. Come up when I download it. It's like a downloadable, viewable something. So I'll try to get a hold of it to where people can click on them. So, and I want to thank you for calling in, everybody. And we still have 12 minutes, but Blog Talk went nuts on me today because my countdown said I had like 5 seconds before air, and then it didn't let me go on for like almost 60 seconds later. So I have no idea when the show's going to go off the air. But
I had that problem too. They've had delays, and you just have to try to roll with it, I guess.
I'm like, okay. So I had to do my music twice, but that's okay. So
I must not have gotten the same one you're talking about, Linda, because the one I've got is They Know Not What They Do.
Okay, that's a different one. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get you everything. I can redo them. And there were so many links that these girls sent me from the Americans Protecting Property Rights, my Anti-Agenda 21 group, and So I'll just try to get all the correct links and you guys can see it. It's an hour long, but it's hot. It's really cool because there's nothing on TV anyway.
Nope.
So, Mike, have you talked about or researched Agenda 21?
Yeah, I do know about Agenda 21, and I was looking at it here. And, you know, that, again, this is just population control. And what people don't realize that this is a covert – Obamacare is a covert act.
Sure.
Wednesday, last week, I don't know if it was done officially at that time, but there was chatter that he's going to sign an executive order. Gee, what a shock. That under Obamacare, women and teenage girls can get voluntarily sterilized, a.k.a. their tubes tied, and Obamacare is going to – we, the taxpayers, get to pay for it.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
I know.
Premier
awesome.
Obama.
We can go back to the Eugenics Society.
Sure. What's next? Gas vans?
Well,
give them any ideas.
Well, we do have selective abortions here. And I ran a seven-minute clip on that where this woman walks in and says, you know, we're really trying for a boy and we already have a girl. And
I'm
pregnant with the girl, can I get an abortion? And sure, no problem. Hey,
I know.
You know.
It's
and again,
horrible.
People don't research the records. Obama, was when he was Illinois senator, he was for late-term abortions and infanticide. If people don't know what infanticide is, when there's a botched abortion,
I know.
They pump saline into the child. I will not call that a fetus. Into the child, thus poisoning and killing it. That's infanticide. And Obama called himself a father of two daughters. Yeah, sure.
I don't buy that either.
Well, and another thing that people don't realize, Barack Obama was legally adopted in Indonesia by his stepfather, Lolo Sartoro.
Sartoro,
yeah.
And Barry Sartoro went by that name. Now, when he was sworn under oath as an Illinois attorney, he was asked under oath, did you ever go by any other names? And Barry replied, none. So he lied under oath. Number two, Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution. To be elected president, not only do you have to be born here, both parents either have to be born on this soil or become naturalized citizens. His father was a British subject from Kenya. Ergo, he's disqualified. Yet, let's ignore it. He's got a Connecticut Social Security number.
Right.
He never spent a day in Connecticut. On his long-form birth certificate, that so-called, E-form or what have you, at the bottom of it, it shows, you know, ethnic origin, African-American. Excuse me. In the 60s, it was Negro. In the 70s, it became Black. African-American didn't happen till the 90s.
Nobody cares.
Let's ignore that.
But, Mike, now you're just a birther. Oh, my God.
Yep. That's
right. Oh, geez, these dang birthers, I tell you. Yeah, that's another one of those media misdirection. I don't understand what is the problem with looking at the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's overwhelming.
Yep. But even if you take that away, the fact that he lied under oath when he's being sworn in as an Illinois attorney, did you ever go by any other name? And he said no. He lied. He committed
that's perjury.
Felony. And that's a felony. Yet he was passed through.
Well, we are starting to see some traction in the media, at least here locally. I'm in Georgia. Because of the pressure on Romney to release more of his tax returns, they're now saying that Romney needs to issue a challenge for Obama to release his college transcripts, all of his records.
Well, that's an interesting – well, that'll never happen because – and this was in the L.A. Times years ago. Barry Sartoro, Barack Obama, he applied for Occidental College. He applied for a foreign scholarship, which he received from the Fulbright Institute.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, gee, I thought you had to be a foreigner to get a foreign scholarship.
Right. Well, he's part Indian on his mother's side. Yeah.
All right. Well, so is that other. Who's that lady's name? She's like 142nd American Indian. Who is that woman from? I forgot. You know.
I can't remember her name.
Oh, hang on. Dang it. Because.
I know what you're talking about.
She's got a famous last name.
Yeah.
We could probably Google that, I'm sure.
Warren. Elizabeth Warren.
There you go.
Yeah, Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren.
Right. I'm 132nd, 15 times removed. But I'll put down all my thing here, American Indian.
Yeah. My great-great-great-great-grandfather saw an Indian having sex once.
Right, there you go. And here's the whole facade, because this segues into affirmative action. You know, how has it worked out for African-Americans? African-American youth is seeing a 40% unemployment rate under Premier Soratoro. And in 2008, African-Americans are saying, hey, you know, we're going to get to sit at the table. Well, guess what, folks? Not only are you not sitting at the table, you can't even get a job to sweep up the crumbs. Good for you. There you go.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing.
You know what? It doesn't matter what color or race or gender the president is. I want a green president. I want a president that's going to get the heck out of our way the way it's supposed to, and let people run their lives. Let the private sector do their deal. Man, woman, white, black, yellow, it doesn't matter. But this country voted on race, and we're paying the price.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know what color he is. He's red. Through
and
through.
Exactly. He's redder than that Warren lady.
Absolutely. With her blonde hair and her, oh, don't forget high cheekbones.
Well, you know, I guess Miles Standish is in there someplace. I don't know.
Pretty crazy. They were talking, and Ron was putting their issue to Rod. He was from France, became naturalized, died in Hawaii. Oh, lovely.
Yeah, talking about the guy who Obama is using his Social Security card. They know for a fact that the guy was a French citizen. He immigrated to the U.S. He was naturalized, became an American, and he died in Hawaii the same year that Obama was born. Obama's grandmother worked in the human resources department in Kapalua or wherever the hell it was. She had access to those records.
Mm.
And, you know, one of the things that they pointed out about Obama, that there was a birth announcement in the newspaper when about his birth. And, you know, surely that this big conspiracy, they wouldn't have done that. But what they overlook is at the time in Hawaii, they were selling birth records to Japanese people who wanted their children to be seen as Americans that were already born. And as part of the service, when you purchased one of these documents, that automatically triggered a birth announcement in the local newspaper.
It gets even better than that. I don't know if you folks are aware, but within the last month, Sheriff Arpaio had a two-hour news conference.
Yes.
And it looks like in the state of Hawaii, anyone could walk up and say, this person here was born, I need a birth certificate. They just hand one. They just hand it out.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a birth certificate mill. The printing press, kind of like the Fed.
Right, and as the sheriff tried to point out, this creates a dire homeland
security
issue.
Problem.
Right. But
of course,
the lamestream media, who's owned by the elitists, who owns the politicians, who owns the currency, a la David Rockefeller, or I don't want to rule a country, I want to own his currency. And Rothschild was quoted as saying, in Paris, when there's blood in the streets of Paris, I buy. So this is why it's not discussed. And Sheriff Arpaio was completely ignored. Completely ignored.
Yep. And, you know, when we talk about a national security problem, I don't see the Obama situation being any bigger a national security threat than all of the dual citizens that we have or have had in the past working within very sensitive areas of our government from foreign countries like Israel.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I just want to, because I know we're wrapping up, Linda, I know there's like maybe a minute left. I just want to point this out real fast. The president's policy, known as the DREAM Act, goes into effect next week and is expected to cost taxpayers more than $350 million to implement it just in the first year. However, that amount could increase substantially depending on the number of illegals who might apply. 800,000 illegals are expected to apply for deferred action during the first year, and the government actually expects over 1 million, and the government's going to hire roughly new employees to detect fraud to the tune of one fraud worker per every 8,010 applicants. Go ask a social worker how she's able or he is able to manage their caseload with 500 people. Now try managing 8,000. Oh, that's going to work really well.
Right. It's insane, guys. I'm probably actually in archives right now, but thanks so much, Ron and Mike, both, for calling in. It's
You're
been
welcome.
Fabulous. We got a chance to go over a lot of stuff, and I'll try to catch your show on Friday. And everybody be blessed and have a great one. And I'm going to go over to the other chat room and try to get those links up for you guys.
Thank you for having me on. And yes, I'm interviewing the Reclamation Project X. I think all of you will find that fascinating. Friday night, 8 p.m.
Cool.
Eastern time.
Awesome.
God bless.
Fabulous.
Thanks, Mike.
God bless you
Thanks,
too.
Guys.
God bless
Good
all
night.
Of you. Good night.
Good night, folks.